Today on Real Life Radio.
He's saying, guess what? You're my child. I brought you into this family. You have a new DNA, and it's holiness. It's holy. You are positionally declared holy by me, God. I'm holy. You're related to me. You're mine. I declare you holy. Now get up and go and act like it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled All in the Family. Now, the Apostle Peter was the disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. There were times, of course, when Peter failed the Lord, but he learned that through Christ's forgiveness and compassion, he could find joy even in the midst of failure, sorrow, and pain. You see, there are times in this life when things are just not that easy. But Jesus, well, he's our prime example of submission. Throughout his word, Jesus taught us to engage our culture not with anger or violence, but through love and kindness. So today, Pastor Jack teaches not to go back to things of the past. Only God, our loving Father, brings life and hope for the future. Now, with his message called All in the Family, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Until your child comes to faith in God, you are like a God to your kids. Did you know that? That's how God created this family structure. It should be natural for a child to go from their dependence upon you, the parent, to God, his or her parent above. Are you with me? Okay? You want to feel some atmospheric resistance? Hang on to your seats. That means you encourage your son to grow up to be a man. That means you encourage your daughter to grow up to be a woman. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when they are not, or when they are old, they will not depart from that way. It's not just a verse about teaching them spiritual truth. It's about teaching them life. You teach your son to be a man. You teach your daughter to be a woman. God ordained it that way. Those are not my words. It comes straight from the manufacturer, God. Our culture, evil is good, good is evil, black is white, white is black, wrong is right, right is wrong. Our world is flipped. And now we're starting to reap of the disastrous consequences of, as it were, a parentless world. And you know what I mean by parentless world. I'm talking about a godless world. Lisa just read me an article yesterday. Maybe you saw it in the news. A man who had become a woman. Now that he has a son, he has regrets. He wants to revert now back to being a man so he can, in his words, teach his son how to be a man. And the very group that encouraged him to go one way is condemning him because he wants to go back. Our nation has lost its mind. God says, I've created you male and female. On this Father's Day, I want to announce that God has created fathers and he's created mothers. Men can only contribute so much into a child's life as a father, and then mom picks it up. And mom can contribute only so much, and then dad picks it up. It's the way it works. And you say this stuff today, and it's almost like I'm sinning against the cultural police. I guess I am sinning against the cultural police. It's not politically correct to say these things. And yet it's life. And God says that we are his children. He's not confused by that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by it because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Are you on that path? Listen, it's a path that is antithesis to this world. This world's the Broadway. Jesus says it's narrow. The words of God are life. Jesus said in John chapter 7, chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door. Definite article, the door. Not many doors. There's not two doors. There's one door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, isn't that a beautiful statement? God's sheep will not follow strangers. Yeah, good news, huh? Are you a Christian today? You'll never be deceived. The Holy Spirit in you sets your compass. Listen, if I see something that's biblically off, you're going to know it. You know how you're going to know it? The Holy Spirit's going to say, mm-mm. And you're all going to hear him. It's awesome. Jesus said, they don't listen to others, thieves or robbers. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he might be saved. He could be. What's it say? Will be saved. What confidence God gives us. Listen, if you're a child of God today, you have confidence in him. He'll never abort you. I can show you many verses where God invites you into his family. I don't see any verses where God says, get out. Even the prodigal son, which is a picture of God. What happened? The son ran away and the father waited. Did he not? The father waited and loved on his son and waited. And when that knucklehead boy came to his senses, the Bible says he ran back and his father poured out his grace upon his returning son. Is that you today? Have you run far from God and God is saying to you, come on back now, hurry up, let's go. I invite you back, you're my child. That's why you're not happy in the world. That's why you're not happy out there living for yourself. You're a child of God, you're sinning against God, and you're miserable. Thank God you're miserable. We wish more miserableness upon you. Why? Because you don't belong in the world. You need to come home where there's rest. The second thing, all in the family are different. Did you know that we're different? In 1 Peter verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. We're different. The Christian is different. The word holy is the Greek word hagios. It means to be set out from and apart from all others. It means to be dedicated or appointed. It means to exist altogether differently. It means, listen to this, hagios, it means to be declared a saint. Did you hear that, everybody? To be declared a saint. To be declared. Who does the declaring? God does. God says this. But as he who called you is holy. Now, I shared this with last service. I thought they were going to get excited. They didn't. So I was very excited studying the Bible this week and came to this discovery. Will you just act like you're excited when I get... Okay. Peter right here quotes right out of the Old Testament. Him being Jewish, what he's trying to communicate to his audience, perfect fit. He's quoting Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. 11:44, Leviticus 11:44. It says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, for you shall be holy, for I am holy, God says. Look at that verse. Leviticus 11:44. Look what it says. I'm the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves. That means you decide to follow me. That's all that's asked of you. That you, as it were, get up out of your seat and follow Jesus, just like the disciples did 21 centuries ago, and you shall be, what's the word?
Holy.
Who's saying this?
God.
And he says, what to you, about you? You shall be holy, declares God.
Amen.
This is what the Bible says. You want to argue with it, that's your business. I'm not, I'm going to obey it. He says, and you shall be holy. How does that happen, God? Because I'm holy, for I am holy. Okay, number two, Leviticus 19, verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He doesn't say, straighten up your act, stand up, tuck your shirt in, be holy. No, he's saying, guess what? You're my child. I brought you into this family. You have a new DNA, and it's holiness. It's holy. You are positionally declared holy by me, God. I'm holy. You're related to me. You're mine. I declare you holy. Now get up and go and act like it. You don't act like it to become it. Because you've been declared it, you go act like it. There's a big difference. One is a relationship with God that he has purchased and empowers, and the other one is called religion. And you can find it in any cult anywhere around town. You pick which one you want.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Listen, Leviticus 20, verse 7. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you? God does. He does the work. God shows you his will. He shows you his word. And you stand and you go, I can't do it. And God says, that's right, you can't. And the Holy Spirit rolls up his sleeves in you. And he goes to work. And his word becomes your delight. You look to his word for direction. You look to his word for guidance. You look to his word for comfort. His word is more valuable to you than food. Leviticus 20, verse 26. This is my favorite. And at the end of this one, you can act all excited. Leviticus 20, verse 26. And you shall, listen to what he's, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have separated you, past tense, from the nations, from the peoples, that you should be mine. I love it. I love it. God is the one doing it. He's doing it. He takes you out of your life and he gives you a new life and then he puts his spirit in you and he says, okay, walk with me. And his grace takes you all the way through. How wonderful is that? Church, I want to show you something. First of all, it's in Ephesians chapter 2, and then I want to go into a little description. Ephesians 2, verse 1. The Bible says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. But you used to live in sin just as the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. That's pretty creepy. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. Just as everyone else. Look at verse 4. But God. But God. Now, I want to show you something on the screen. This, I don't know how it appears on the screen. Maybe it's a little different, but I'm going to read it to you for clarification. Life without Jesus, life with Jesus, and you judge. Life without Jesus, church, we're ignorant of God's word and his will. We don't care. We don't know. Life without Jesus, we are fatherless and orphaned. Life without Jesus, we're controlled by our passions. Life without Jesus, our lives have no meaning or purpose. We're aimless. Interestingly, though, life without Jesus, we're affirmed by the world. We're affirmed by society. They love us when we're of the world. Jesus said the world loves its own. Think now of the systems at play. There's the spiritual world. And then there's this physical world, and they clash. But what about life with Jesus? Have you experienced this change as a child of God? Life with Jesus, knowing Christ and God. Now you know him. You know now that you're a child of God and that you're in the family of God. You're now controlled by obedience. You might want to do something, but your love for God says, I'm going to obey him. Think of that for a moment. Life with Jesus is now a life with meaning and purpose. You're no longer aimless. Life with Jesus, interestingly enough, now you're misunderstood by society. We're not, as the sticker is on some of the cars in the parking lot, not of this world. Did you know that? We're not of this world. We're aliens now. We belong to a different world. I've said this to you before. I want to repeat it. It's a wonderful feeling to feel alienated in your own world. I like it. I like the fact that I don't feel at home here in this world anymore. I don't even recognize this world. Thirdly, in verse 16, all in the family means that we're adopted. You know, the Bible says we're adopted. When he says, because it is written, he's talking about, again, the Old Testament, be holy for I am holy. What are we talking about this? We're talking about adoption. The Bible tells us that God has adopted us into his family in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Romans 8, 14 to 16, the Bible says that the Spirit of God that now dwells within us as sons prompts us to call him Father. There's a supernatural intimacy that God has created within you. And that verse goes on to say that causes within us a connection with God. He's no longer alienated, and we are not alienated from him. My dear friend, today, if you feel alienated from God, you need to really check all your bases and ask yourself, are you in the family of God? And you might say, well, Jack, you know what? The church family's messed up. Of course it is. It's a family. We're all related. Well, not everybody gets along. Exactly. We're related. Isn't it amazing? Now, I might get in trouble for this, but I think from the beginning, Satan has been trying to figure out the church so he could destroy it. Right? Don't you think? Yes. He's like a lion, the Bible says, roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. And I think he does that to try to destroy Jesus' church in the earth. But if you notice, we argue and bicker and fight back and forth, and denominations bite and chew on one another, and even just personality, Christian personality, and this Christian personality. I'm talking about personality, not famous people. They eat on each other. They bite on each other. It's terrible. It's carnal. It's not right. But let's remember this, first of all. Jesus died for our sins, not our personalities. Now, some of us need to get our personality sanctified. Okay, God didn't make you a stinker. You need to be nice. But he died for our sins, and he's commanded us to get along. We've been brought into the family of God. We're adopted. We belong to each other. And that being the case, it's beautiful to realize that God says, I called you into my family. I adopted you. At what point, listen, the child that's being adopted. Now look, I speak from my granddaughter's perspective. The whole paperwork and scenario, I love it. Her adoption was in the process before she was born. When she came out, this family severed the umbilical cord from her birth mother. And from that moment, in fact, we don't even remember she's adopted until somebody says, oh, is that the adopted granddaughter? Oh, yeah, I guess it is. We never think about it. Do you want to know why? The magnitude of love, it's just instantaneous. You hold a little stranger, and in a nanosecond of time, it's over. She's got Papa wrapped around all fingers, not just the baby finger. And same with the grandson. Instant. Your heart is given over. And the Bible says we've been adopted into the family of God, that God has adopted us. Now look, if you've given birth to your child, you have given birth to your child. And we've got two birth kids. And what are you going to do with them? They're yours. You made them. They came out. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going home with that kid. There's no, you know, return. What's the policy on this one? Lift it up. Where's the label? No, they're yours. But adoption is we pick that one. God says, I pick you. And he brings you into his family. He's not stuck with you. If I can say it this way, he's stuck on you. But isn't God watching every move I make? Yes, he is. Because he can't take his eyes off you. And what's amazing about our adopted granddaughter is the fact that she looks like us. Not only does she look like us, but she has the same characteristics that her mother had when she was that age. How does that happen? How can that possibly be? But God. Every one of us have been adopted into the family of God. We are related. Which leads us to the closing point of verse 16. We're united. All in the family are united. My dear friends, this is a spiritual fact. Now watch this. Don't raise your hand. But if you're a Christian today, and if I were to ask you, are you a Christian? You raise your hand. Well, listen. As much as your hand is up, proclaim that you're a Christian. You are equally united to those sitting around you who are fellow Christians. Remember that when you're trying to get out of the parking lot soon. We are united. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators. You know what the word is? You'll appreciate this. Memites. You say, what? Memites. The word is mime. You know, to mime. You know those funny guys that do that thing? To mime. The word actually means to be the shadow of someone. To be the shadow of someone. To walk exactly like they walk. To move exactly like they move. Let me read it again. Therefore, be the shadow of God. Is that precious? As dear children. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Isn't that great? The more you and I decide to walk with Jesus, mimicking him, the Father goes, yes.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called All in the Family. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Hey, if you've got kids or grandkids, you're going to want to get this book. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's written by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, our younger generation is battling a culture of hate and adversity. You and I never really thought it possible. So for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life, our current featured resource, Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants is available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio.
So here we are at this time of the year, and it's a very critical year on all fronts. We see a nation that is probably actually, unofficially, but officially at war. We've got nations that are really tearing each other apart, and internally, all nations in this world right now, it's not just America. All nations seem to be coming apart from the inside out. It's overwhelming until you stop and realize, wait a minute. Wait. God had me be born and be alive for such a time as this. Paul the Apostle put it this way. None of these things move me. Friend, let that be your statement as well. Let none of these things move you, because greater is he, the Lord, that is in you than he that is the works of Satan that are in this world. So in light of that, let's do this. Let's pray. So Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray to you, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, God, that you'd give us that peace that passes all understanding, while at the same time, our eyes are wide open to the reality of what's going on in the world around us. Lord, let us not be intimidated. Don't allow us, Lord, to be somehow frightened that we would take the light of the gospel that is in us and hide it under a basket or a bushel. Nope, Lord, cause us to stand strong. And as we pray as a family, and as you use the Real Life Network more and more, God, we are blown away with how many doors you've opened up to us to reach members of Congress and to reach people who are in other countries and to reach the man on the streets. So, Lord, keep us usable. May we not fail. Don't let us get our eyes off of you. Hang on to us, Lord, because we cannot hang on to you enough. In your grip, may we abide. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.